How many of you, and I want you to think about this and raise your hand if it includes you, how many of you have a prayer that's important to you that has not been answered yet? Would you raise your hand? Boy, I don't think that misses anybody. All right. Second question. For how many of you has that, or an unanswered prayer, been a discouragement to you? So now we see who's honest, huh? I think it's probably discouraging to everybody, or at least a temptation to be discouraging to everybody for sure. And so that just assures me that the Holy Spirit knew what he was doing when he told me what to share with you this evening. So I want everybody to stand up and hold your Bibles above your heads. All right? Everybody stand up. Hold your Bible over your head and say, "Forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven. I choose to bring my thoughts and my brain in submission to your eternal word." Amen.
Amen.
Sit back down. And I want to start by confessing to you how discouraging an unanswered prayer was to me. It was 15 years ago this Saturday, November 7, 1994. And it was so significant that we remember it that way. One of our daughters was slammed with tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears, hyperacusis, which is oversensitivity to hearing, that was so bad that she had terrible headaches at listening to normal sounds, vertigo, unable to maintain balance, and a couple of other things I don't remember at the time. Now, this didn't surprise me when it happened. We've had a lot of attacks on us, and God has been very good in answering our prayers, protecting us from evil, and doing amazing miracles in our family to keep his promises that he's given us. But that's one that didn't go away. We used every weapon in the Pentecostal arsenal we know about, and it didn't go away. We used every intercessory technique and strategy that we could find, and there are a lot of them, and it didn't go away. We fasted, we prayed, we asked for others to lay hands on in prayer. We've taken her, she's gone with us to healing services. I mean, you name it, and we did it. We not only searched out medical care, but alternative medical part things, nutritional stuff, anything that might possibly help. And 15 years later, she still has some of those, not as bad as they were. Now, the bad thing about this was that after about 6 months of diligent search, I mean, I'm her father. This is in my house. We have declared Psalm 91 for 15 years prior to this. No plague in your household? And I'm the man of God? And I can't get rid of this? Discouraging. In the 15 years before that, the Lord had done a number of healing miracles in answer to my prayers, and Linda's too. We went on a team visit thing to London for 2 weeks, and God did several miracles per day through our hands. I mean, we know the healing power of God. We have seen it. Healing minds, healing spirits, as well as healing bodies. And yet, after about 6 months, I gave up. I did not know what to do. I stopped praying for people who were sick. It was about 3 years after that happened that we started coming to the Rock. The Lord led us here. Pastor Jim and Deborah welcomed us. And I only recognized that Linda while we were sitting here worshiping this evening. Pastor Jim, Pastor Deborah, it was during the first few months that we started attending the Rock that the Lord started lifting up my faith and opening my eyes to see. And I remember a point when I realized that I had not prayed for a single person to be healed in 3 years. I was wondering why I wasn't seeing healing miracles. Duh, I hadn't asked for any. Ask and you shall receive. Isn't that the word? Now, I don't know that I was mad at God, but there was something inside that made me unwilling to exercise what I knew that was true because it wasn't working where I wanted it to most. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and I repented. I remember. Some of you who have been in my prayer classes know that we have a laundry room that is not being used between 4:30 and 6 in the morning by anybody else. So that's my prayer closet. And I went into my prayer closet that next morning, fell down on my knees, wept and cried, and asked God to forgive me for refusing to allow His Spirit to work through me because of something that I was holding against Him that He hadn't done yet. So what we're talking about here is unanswered prayers. You know, there's probably, I have a book in my library at home that has a chapter on unanswered prayers, and there's 18 categories. Oh, gosh. It is helpful sometimes to look through that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about the debilitating type of unanswered prayer that just slams you and makes you unwilling or unable or something so that faith isn't exercised and you don't see God doing what He used to do and what His Word says He will do and what He wants to do that we're not doing because of the difficulty. Now, finances can do this. I mean, it's like a spiritual paralysis. I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop reading my Bible. I didn't stop going to church. I didn't stop tithing and giving offerings. I didn't stop exhorting my family and friends to walk in the ways of the Lord. But I backed off of a gift that God had given me. Because the devil, I let the devil win without realizing it. Now, after that, 3 years, I said, okay, God, you bring anyone to me that you want me to pray for. I'll pray for them whether they get healed or not. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to act as if your word is still true and see what happens. And I'm going to set this thing with my daughter on a shelf. I don't understand it, but I refuse to change what I think about you based on what hasn't happened in my personal experience. Okay, so this is a big enemy, this unanswered prayer thing, so we're getting out the big guns. So I want you to turn with me to Job 13:15, what to do about unanswered prayer. There's an amazing verse in Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Since then, God has done amazing healing miracles through me again. And I am so glad and grateful. I love to see Jesus set people free from the stuff that's getting them down. And any of you know Lily, who sings in the choir? She sang this morning, yesterday morning, and all three services this morning. 3 years ago, according to the doctor, she was supposed to die of cancer. She didn't. Hallelujah. When she found out, as a beautiful young woman in her early 20s, her fiancé was really slammed about that, and a word came forth that he should go ahead and marry her because the Lord was going to heal her. And the Lord has, and she sings in our choir every week. That is such an encouragement to me. God is still healing the sick. God heals cancer in this house in answer to the prayers of these people. There was an 8-year-old girl who was one of several dozen people miraculously healed. One of the, in Ukraine, when we had a team from the Rock go to the Ukraine about 4 summers ago. And this 8-year-old girl was so, her eyes were so bad, she couldn't read. It was very, very bad. Yes, Bob over here is smiling and, yes, raising his hands, because he was there, and so was Linda. This little 8-year-old girl, bam, I hit bam like it was a powerful thing. It was. It didn't appear to be. I just put my hand on her forehead and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Eyes open up. And this was through an interpreter. You know, I didn't understand. I don't know Russian. And she started crying, and I thought, oops, what's going on here? Well, who's next? Let's see. And so God healed several other people, and then her mother raised her hand and asked the interpreter if she could say something, and she said the reason she was crying is because she has never been able to see as well as she can right now, and she can read every word on that board behind you, and she couldn't do that before. That was a healing miracle that God did. Hallelujah. Now, and I've got a list of them here, but I don't have a school secretary at Rialto High School, where I work. Cured of migraine headaches. I thought, in the parking lot at Rialto High School, I thought the Lord was just going to heal her of that particular migraine. I didn't know it was a series of problems. But she 6 months later, she came to my room and said, I used to have bad migraine headaches that were so bad I had to go home from work for 2 days or 3 days in a row until they left, and I haven't had a single one in the past 6 months since you prayed for me. Now, this is, you know, this is not about me. This is about what God wants to do, what God wanted to do, what the devil was keeping me from cooperating with God to have for those 3 years. And I'm asking you, what does God want you to be doing that you haven't been doing because you're discouraged with unanswered prayers? You know, okay, we've got two things to look at here this evening. It's very simple. One is, what does God want to do in response to unanswered prayer? And what does the devil want to do in response to unanswered prayer? And it's really so simple, it's hard to believe. But first I want to show you something that the Lord shared with me. I'm giving you the 2 points of what to do to start with. A little different. Number one, refuse to reinterpret God based on your life experiences. You know people like I do who have looked at how hard life got, blamed God, and left. About a month and a half ago, I was listening to a radio show in the evening. I don't know why I was driving that late at evening. I usually don't do that. But it was NPR, one of these secular stations, and they were talking. It was an atheist giving a testimony of how he had once believed that stuff and now doesn't anymore. This is a brilliant man. He was the religion editor for the Los Angeles Times for about 15 years. And he went to a harvest crusade to do a report on it and got saved. And then he started attending Harvest Church there. And he got into it. He got a prayer language. I mean, the guy was interviewing about all this stuff. He was having a good time. He was believing God. His family got better. His marriage got better. His finances got better. He was happier than he'd been all his life. And then several things started falling apart. And he started questioning God. And he saw that this was happening and that didn't align with what they were teaching about God. And this was happening and that didn't align with what we're teaching about God. And he became bitter and decided, you know, that this was too good to be true. And now he's written a book about how he's become an atheist. Well, he reinterpreted God by his circumstances instead of bringing his mind under the Word of God, like I just asked you to make a declaration to do. Instead of bringing every thought captive to Jesus Christ, he put his thoughts above the Word of God and interpreted God to not be there. And one of the amazing things, toward the end of the program, the guy who was interviewing him was good enough to say, but don't you sometimes wish that you had that peace and that joy and that simple faith that you said that you enjoyed so much? And he says, yeah, I do. You know, I wish I could believe that stuff, but I just can't believe it anymore. I've got another story, but I don't want to tell it. It's similar to that. I heard it just last night about a heroin addict who was born again. And it was a long story and a good one. The bottom line, though, is that his wife got saved. He started going to church, And God started following God. He talked about how he had an experience with God that changed his life. His marriage got better. His family life got better. His finances got better. He started a business. And then about a year and a half later, business went downhill. And he checked out and said, it's not working, and went back to drugs. I mean, how stupid can people be? Yeah, you know, there's the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may devour. But he may not devour me. But it's only going to happen that way to you if you determine. And that's the second one. That is, determined to interpret your life experiences based on what the Bible says about God. See, this is a determination thing. This is a mind thing. This is a thing you have to decide to set your mind to do intentionally and on purpose. I am determined. I am aware of the works of the devil. I am not going to let Satan get me down. He doesn't have to get me. He doesn't have to get my wife. He doesn't have to get my kids. He can't have my grandkids. My nieces and nephews. Because I have influence in their life. I can help them. This afternoon, I was up at one of my daughter's houses, and my grandson, 8-year-old grandson, Clement, was playing video games. And you know what? He just loves to identify the enemy and blow him out of the water. Anyone like video games? You see, this is a very significant thing to do, but it doesn't have to be grueling or arduous. See, Clement isn't intimidated by those enemies because he knows the rules of the game, and he knows he has authority that if he uses his weapons and aims them at him, he can blow them out of the water. Now, how smart are you? Can you make your life into a mind game, asking God to expose the lies of the enemy so you can blow them out of the water? See, that's what it takes. It takes a determined mindset. I'm not going to let the devil get me down. Yes, I know that I have prayers that aren't answered, and I don't understand why. But you know what? It's not going to keep me from praying. Because as some of you heard a few months ago, I had 200 answers to prayer in 90 days that I journaled. And some of you journaled. Any of you journal after that? And keep track of some answered prayers? Hallelujah. God does answer stuff. He just doesn't always do what we want when we want him to do it. And that's a good thing, because he's not supposed to be our puppet. It reminds us who we are and who's in charge. Now, I could give atheist testimony number one, which I did. Atheist testimony number two I did. How about Christian wimp testimony? Numbers one to a million. Now, these aren't people who have done what they did, or like a friend of ours from college, and mine from college, who was on a gospel team in a Christian college, and later, you know, about 10 years later, became an atheist, went testifying on radio programs, left to abandon his wife and kids. You don't have to go that bad. You know, if the devil can't make you do that, he will be happy to just weaken you so you won't do anything. And you'll be a Christian with a name Christian who sits around and doesn't know why your finances are bad and why your prayers don't get answered and why your wife doesn't love you and why your kids don't respect you and how come things aren't going better at the job and how come you're still driving a vehicle that isn't fixed. I mean, you can go on and on and on, and it's not God's fault. But there are so many Christian wimps, you know, at various levels. Maybe you're even a volunteer at The Rock. Thank you. We appreciate that. We need you. But if you don't hang in there tight with God, your church work is not going to get you into heaven. And if you allow the devil to strip you of the destiny that God had for you in exercise of the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit to influence so that you're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, then you're a Christian wimp that allowed the devil to rob you and his kingdom of what he wanted to do. Because see, there's not only a need for intercessors praying for America and the nations, there's a need for intercessors praying for the people that you know that no other Christian knows. And if you don't hear the Lord and do something on their behalf, who's going to? Nobody. And is that God's fault? No. Because he's given you the video game and taught you the answers. That's why we keep coming to church, so that we can learn to play the game better, right? Isn't that why? I mean, David in Psalm 73 said things are awful. The wicked are prospering. Things are terrible. I think maybe I should go home and give up on God. Until, he said, I went into the sanctuary and then I saw. See, that way we need to keep coming back, friends, and bringing others back that are in various stages of wimpiness, pardon me, and need to be brought back to a live, vital experience of God where they see their prayers answered, if not all of them, at least three or four a week. I mean, you know, how much do you want to give up? I mean, you're the one who gets to decide. So you don't have to give up the whole thing and become an atheist testimony. You can just sit back and let others do the work and wonder and wish and feel weak and helpless. And boy, won't it be good when Jesus comes again, because life is so bad. Am I doing anybody any good here? I've got a couple more minutes, so I want to share what God wants to do with unanswered prayer. The devil is wanting to destroy us. Our families, our marriages, our finances, our health, you name it. He's out to destroy it. But he may not devour us if we determine that he won't be able to, because we choose to believe God's word and exercise our authority. Now, the second part of this is what God wants to do with unanswered prayers. He wants you to take the unanswered prayers personally. Now, see, that there's two ways to look at this. If you take it personally and get mad at God, then that's not helpful. But if you take it personally as a challenge, because you believe, you choose to believe that what this book says about God is true, and this is not something that you are going to stand by and allow the devil to do you in on, then you can take it as a challenge to learn how to reign with Christ. I read a book years ago entitled Destined for the Throne by Paul Bilheimer. It's not a very long book. It's only about 120 pages. And if you want to read a really good book on the purpose of prayer, I would challenge you to get that one, Destined for the Throne by Paul Bilheimer. He makes the point, and I want to run very quickly through three scriptures here in the book of the Revelation, that the purpose of God in prayer is to train you and me to be a bride of Christ who is ready and valiant to reign with Christ from the throne of God. That's a pretty big picture. The wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Who makes the bride ready? The bride does. I think the reason Jesus hasn't come yet is that there's not a bride yet that he's excited to come and get. And when the church becomes a bride that's valiant and hungry to serve and ready to vanquish the enemy and longing for intimacy with our Lord, the groom, then he's going to come, because he's got a bride that he can hardly wait to come and take. Yeah? And as long as we're wimpy and not caring and fooling around and just sort of managing by, I mean, who wants that for a bride? I know that there are many men that are intimidated by a bride that can do stuff, and that's sad and unnecessary, but Jesus is not. He wants a bride like him. He wants a bride, yeah. He wants a bride that's full of the Spirit. He wants a bride that's got vim and vigor and vitality. He wants a bride that's healthy and strong. He wants a bride that'll put on the armor and go to war with him. All right, so if we, this is getting fun. Romans 5:10, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And because I'm running out of time, let's go right to the next one, verse 3 of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 21. I will give the right to sit on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down on the Father's throne. Wow, can you imagine? And Pastor Jim talks about, you know, just because a five-year-old asks to drive the car doesn't mean you give him the keys. Why not? Not ready. Well, are you ready to reign with Christ? Rule over the entire universe? Hey, come on. We need to get ourselves ready through the warfare. All right. And some of the heroes that overcame unanswered prayer and became victors, and I was going to preach on these, but guess what? We're out of time. Joseph, 13 years. You think he was not praying? Caleb. Oh, I love Caleb. 45 years he waited between the promise and the attack that brought him the mountain that he could claim as his own. 45 years. You know what? I don't think Caleb was lying around thinking, well, if it ever happens, God will give me the strength. No. I think Caleb was out there with his sword in year 3 saying, someday I'm going to do this. I better keep myself strong. When he was 60, he was out there with his sword. He was running around the mountain. He was exercising. He was learning the ways of warfare. So when his opportunity came, he'd be ready for it. And when he was 70, he was doing the same thing. And finally, when he was 85, he could say, now I'm ready. This is my mountain! Who's going to help me take it? Woo! Now, you see, 45 years of unanswered prayer, but he didn't give up. He kept preparing to do what God had called him to do. Well, let's look at Job 15:13 again. There's it, 13:15. Thank you. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And let's take a review of our 2 points that we're going to learn how to do things. One is we are going to refuse to reinterpret God based on our life experiences. And we are going to determine to interpret our life experiences based on what this book says about who God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I've got 2 quick things I want to do. One is, and the Holy Spirit told me to do this, so it may be a little awkward, but that's too bad. There are a few of you who are where I was 3 years after I had not prayed for a single person for healing. And the Holy Spirit's been showing you tonight that there is an unanswered prayer that you have allowed to be a big obstacle, and you are agreeing with the Holy Spirit that it's time not to allow that to happen any longer. Those of you who are there, and you know you need to ask God to forgive you and give you a new start because you're not going to let it continue to hold you back, I want you to stand right now because I'm going to pray for you. Wherever you are, just stand. You know who you are because the Holy Spirit's been talking to you. Almighty God, I thank you that you know the pain in their hearts. You have captured the tears that they have wept. You know the hunger they have for you. And I thank you that right now you're accepting their repentance and their humility and giving them a new opportunity starting tonight to say, hell no, I'm going to believe God and act like his promises are true. And all of those of you who feel that way, say amen. Amen. Amen.